100 and verse 18. Now, let me encourage you tonight. We're going to be looking at a lot of scripture, and so get your fingers limbered up. The temperature has gone up now. I think it was in the 30s this afternoon, so you should be okay. And I want you to hear it. I want you to see it. I want you to remember it. I want it to be a help to you. Good. Psalm 118. We'll start there in just a moment. All right, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the Word of God that we can study and that gives us guidance for our life. And Lord, you know the need tonight of my heart. You know the need of every heart here in this room. And I have studied, I have a message. But Lord, you may have something else that someone needs to hear. And I pray that you would just guide and direct throughout the whole evening. Give us listening ears. Help us to engage our minds. Help us to apply the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned early on about reading through the Bible. And it seems like every year I do that. Different books of the Bible speak to me in different ways. This year, as I was coasting toward the end, and reading Zechariah and Revelation at the same time, it was just exciting to me to see God's plan for the future. Now, as I was reading Zechariah, I read Zechariah 3:9. I didn't have you turn to it, because if you're like me, it would have taken you 5 minutes to find it. And you don't need to turn it, because I'm not going to preach on this. But I read this verse. You ready? Here it is. "For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes." Now, the good news, I'm not preaching on that verse tonight, okay? If I did, I would probably entitle it something like "The Seven-Eyed Stone." But as I was reading that passage, I began to think, what in the world is that? What is this thing that Joshua saw, this stone with seven eyes on it? And in my study Bible, there were some footnotes. And the author of the study Bible had written down there, the stone is Christ. And he'd listed several passages about Christ being the chief cornerstone, Christ being the foundation stone. And so I began to look up all those verses. And those verses led to other verses. I was shocked. I've heard about Christ the cornerstone my whole life. But I found probably 11 or 12 different verses that talked about that great truth. And so what you're going to hear tonight is the result of that study. I'm not going to tell you how many points there are. It's more than four and less than six. So if you can figure that out, you'll know. But I want you to get an overall scope of the Bible's teaching on Christ the stone. And I want you to understand before you leave the so what. We'll establish the truth. It's probably something. How many of you have heard that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone? You've heard that at some point in your life. Okay, all of you. So this is nothing new. But we want to make some application, explain it, try to apply it, and help you on Monday. Okay? Help you on Tuesday. So if you'll engage your mind, I'll try to engage my mind and my mouth and see what we can get, all right? Number one, if you're taking notes, Christ is the prophesied stone. The prophesied stone. You're in Psalm 118.12. Excuse me, 118.22. Psalms, most of the Psalms were written by what man? David. When was David around? When would this prophecy have been made? About 1,000 B.C., okay? So 1,000 years before Christ, this prophecy was made. Verse 22, "The stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner." Now, we notice a couple things from this verse. One, it's a building stone. It's not just like a rock. Have you ever gone down to the river or the creek, grabbed some rocks, flat rocks, tried to skip them across? Come on, be honest. How many have thrown rocks at houses? At your neighbors, come on, be honest, quit lying, there you go. Yeah, there are some honest people, there you go. That's not the kind of rock we're talking about. We're talking about a building stone. Now notice it says in this passage, it is going to be refused. This building stone is going to be rejected. It's going to be cast off by someone, but it's going to become the headstone of the corner or the cornerstone. Now, we don't do a whole lot of building with huge rocks anymore. We do build with blocks, and Buddy here is our mason in the church. And I've been involved in some building years ago. I don't see Tom, but Tom helped me in part of my addition, and his job was to lay the first couple of blocks. Now, why is that important? What happens if you've got your footers poured and everything's set and they're ready to go and you're ready to put that first block in the corner and it's crooked? Oh, my, everyone crooked. In fact, what happens as you go? It gets worse and worse and worse. Yeah, Larry said, I don't know, I've never done this. It gets worse and worse and worse. Boy, that first stone is really important. That cornerstone needs to be square, needs to be set up, it needs to be plumb, it needs to be set just perfectly, it needs to be the right size, the right shape. What if that cornerstone, and especially if you're building with just stones, has a weakness in it? And you build and you build and you build and you build, and you get way up there on the second and third floor, and all of a sudden that thing gives way. This is an important stone. It's got to be strong enough to support the building. It has to be square enough to get all the angles right. Have you ever tried to hang sheetrock in a room that wasn't square? Yeah, you've been there. Isn't that fun? It's because somebody blew it when they started, or it settled over the years. He said, look, this stone is going to be rejected. This is a building stone. It's going to be rejected, but then it's going to become the chief cornerstone. All right, so there's our first prophetic passage. By the way, yes, thank you. I see that up there. Do we have any 3- and 4-year-olds that don't want to hear about this? Okay, I forgot to dismiss the 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. Let's do that. Wait, that worked, guys. Good job. There's one. Are you sure you don't want to stay? This is good stuff. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. All right, sorry about that. All right, okay, turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 8. He's a prophesied stone. Isaiah chapter 8. Now, David would have written in 1000 B.C. Isaiah moves us forward a little bit in about 740 in that area, so we're getting a little bit closer to the time of Christ. But look in chapter 8 and verse 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, for a gin, which is a trap, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. So here we learn something else. Here Jehovah is to be a stone of sanctuary, a place, a safe place, a place they could run to in time of trouble, but also notice he's going to be a stone of stumbling. And he's going to cause people to trip and to fall, and instead of being a stepping stone, which he's meant to be, to some, he's going to be a stumbling stone, and many are going to fall when he comes, all right? Now, you're in Isaiah. Flip over to Isaiah 28. Now, I want you to remember all these thoughts that we're seeing prophesied. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Isaiah 28:16 says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone. It's stone that's been tested and has passed the test. Notice, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth or trusteth in him shall not make haste. It will not fail him. Okay, it's going to be a sure, boy, here he is. Now, we've got this foundation stone, something to be built on. It is tested. It is precious. It's a sure foundation. It can be trusted in. Now, one more. How are you doing so far? Okay, one more prophecy. Turn to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. And Daniel written probably 150 years later. Daniel chapter 2, verse 35. Still 600 years before Christ. And this is that vision that the king has, and Daniel tells him what it means. Remember the vision of the idol with the head of gold, silver, bronze, clay. You remember all that? Okay. So in verse 35, it says, "Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together." Now, remember, that's talking about all the nations of the world, starting with the Babylonians, Medo-Persians, the Greeks, all of that. "And become like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." So here's the stone again, and it's going to destroy all the nations, and it's going to fill the earth. This stone is going to rule and reign over all things. Okay? There's the prophecies. It's a prophesied stone. You've seen many facets here, these prophecies made anywhere from 600 to 1,000 years before the coming of Christ. So there's number one. Number two, and we start seeing the fulfillment of these prophecies, he is a stumbling stone. And I want to just stop and remember the presentation of the stone as Christ came to be born and the angels came to the shepherds and said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior," which is Christ, which is the Messiah, the King, the Lord, the Master, the ruler of the universe. So they're telling us about this stone that is coming. The wise men, when they came, who were they looking for? King of the Jews. They were looking for the stone, weren't they? That had been prophesied. At his baptism, John the Baptist proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Here is the Messiah. Here is the stone." And in his ministry, he fulfilled all of those prophecies in the Old Testament, or the ones that were be fulfilled at that time. And he healed the sick, and he performed miracles. He raised the dead. He said he was the Messiah. He said he was the stone. And how did the people of Israel respond? What did they do? What was the prophecy? What did the prophecy say would happen when the stone came? They would reject him. And boy, they sure did, didn't they? And they tested him with questions. By the way, it's amazing. They rejected his messiahship, but every test they threw at him, he passed. He was the tried stone, the tested stone. They said he had a devil. He was being controlled by the devil. They tried to kill him on numerous times. He became a stone of offense to them, a stone of stumbling. The religious leaders, isn't this amazing? Here comes the Messiah, the Christ. And what did the religious leaders do? They incite the crowd. And when they say, "Should we kill Barabbas or Jesus? Who should we release?" And they incite that crowd, "Release Barabbas. Kill the stone. Kill the Christ." And just as was prophesied 1,000 years before, the stone comes into this world and he is rejected. Now you say, "Gary, I don't believe Jesus was the stone. I think you're making it all up." Okay, turn to Acts chapter 1 or Acts chapter 4. We'll clarify this here, okay? Acts chapter 4. Peter and John come to the gate and they raise people, they raise the man and they're preaching and they're doing all these things. And of course, the Jewish leaders weren't very happy about that. And they took them and they threw them in prison. And John begins to speak to them in verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done of the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you." Hold on to your hats. This is the stone. Who's the stone? Jesus Christ. Peter is saying, look, this is the stone that was prophesied. And he's quoting the Old Testament passages that we read. And he said, the prophecy was there would be a stone and he would be rejected. And this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is to become the head of the corner. Boy, I bet they like that one. And he's saying, look, you guys killed the Messiah. He is the stone. He's the cornerstone. You killed him, but he's going to be the cornerstone. Wow. He's going to be the cornerstone. So the prophecy was the stone will come. A perfect stone, a perfect building stone. He will be rejected, and he was. Thirdly, a foundation stone. A foundation stone. And you're in Acts chapter 4 already. But let's reread that 11th and 12th verse. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. All right, you want to go to heaven. Who do you have to go through? Jesus, who is the stone. You say, I want a good life. I want a blessed life. I want to go to heaven. You got to go through the stone. He said, neither is there salvation in any other. There is one way to heaven, and that is through the stone. And Peter told us that the stone was the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're resting on anything but Jesus, you're in big trouble. But aren't you glad, my friend, if you have your faith in Christ and Christ alone, you are on a solid stone. It will not fail. It has been tried. Let me ask you a question. Has there ever been a person who sincerely came to Christ for salvation that Christ did not save? Somebody said, well, I don't know. How do you know there hasn't been? What does the Bible say? Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you have come to Christ by faith, and you have placed your faith in the work of Christ, you are on a solid stone, an unfailing stone. And you could ride out into eternity on that stone, and your faith in Jesus Christ. There are people in this world who are resting on the rock of their good works. Not good. I could come to the steps and trip like Daniel did this morning. But that's what it's like when you're standing. If you're resting on your good works, your church membership, your baptism, you'd be amazed the number of people I say, if you died, you go to heaven. Well, I remember when I got baptized. Well, hallelujah. As Preacher Lashley's often said, you can get baptized in every creek and know the name of every minnow in East Tennessee and not go to heaven. What stone are you resting on to get to heaven? Peter said, you crucified the stone, and there's no salvation except in that stone. And I love Romans 9:33. Another passage. Don't turn there. I'll read it for you. As it is written, again, quoting the Old Testament, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Boy, I'm glad. I'm not going to get to heaven, and we know Peter's not at the gate letting people in, but Peter say, Gary, why should you go into heaven? And I say, because I placed my faith in Christ. Nope, not enough. I'm sorry. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. It is sure. It is settled. He is the foundation stone. And I love the song we just sang. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. What a foundation for our life. And then a song we don't sing a whole lot. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you who has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. My, what a foundation. What a foundation for the believer. And by the way, this is the foundation for salvation. It is the foundation for your service. Listen to 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation, listen, for other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. What are you building your life on? The rock will save you. Boy, it needs to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about our personalities. It's not about our technique. It's about Christ. And when you serve, folks, the solid foundation for service is the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only is Christ the solid foundation for your life, He is to be the foundation. He is the foundation of the true church. You know, I don't know why I've been doing this lately, but I guess I'm curious. I've been watching some religious TV. You say, man, you must really be bored. I'm just kind of curious. And I, don't worry, I haven't signed up. I didn't buy the large print Bible or anything, and I haven't sent any money in. It's not that bad. But it is amazing to me what churches are being built on. They are built on entertainment. I don't want to be too specific because then you'll know what I'm watching. I'll do it anyway. He used to have the Crystal Cathedral. They went bankrupt. You know what the Crystal Cathedral is now? It is a Catholic church. Yeah, they're remodeling it. They bought it for $53 million, and they're remodeling it. It's going to be the Catholic diocese in California. But they had some lady get up, bless her heart. And the reason I actually started watching is I was flipping through channels, and they were singing this beautiful hymn, and I thought, wow, that is wonderful. And then this other person got up. And she's saying, this little light of mine, but it's not the way you're thinking. I mean, they were clapping, they were stomping, they were going wild. And then she sang a song. I didn't even know it was a Christian song. I don't think it is. Bridge Over Troubled Water. That was kind of shocking to me. Churches are building today on entertainment. The Catholic Church is built on not this. It's built on tradition. It's not built on Christ, the solid rock. Churches are built on sports, fishing and hunting. Churches are built on people, on personalities. Matthew 16:18, Peter made that great confession. And what did Jesus say? I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not Peter the rock, Catholic Church got that wrong. His confession that Jesus is the Christ. He said, on this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not be able to prevail against it. That's the foundation, folks. That's the foundation. And I thank the Lord that this church is built on Christ. The solid rock, the solid foundation. Turn quickly over to Ephesians, just over a couple books there. Chapter 2, there's another passage I want you to see. Ephesians chapter 2. Here's the good news. I've got 10 pages, I'm on page 7, okay? If you'll endure to the end, you shall be saved. Hang in there, all right? I don't think that's quite how that's supposed to mean. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Listen, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Christ is the chief cornerstone. Who are the rest of the stones that make up the body of Christ, according to that passage? Who is it? Did you see it? If you're a Christian, raise your hand. If you've been born again, raise your hand. Okay? You be the stones. Okay? He's saying, look, Christ is the chief cornerstone. He's perfect. He's exactly what he ought to be. And we build our lives on the chief cornerstone. We build our church on the chief cornerstone. And we are the stones which are fitted together to make the church. And everyone is just perfect, fit right there. Anybody who lay rock besides Buddy? I tried to lay rock one time. What a fiasco. Because you see, every rock's got to be just in the right place. It's got to be the right size, the right thickness, the right everything about it. And you got to lay them just right, and they all have to fit together. And I didn't do real well. Give me wood. Rocks, I'll let Buddy do that. When God is building the church, it must have Christ as the cornerstone, the tried stone, the true stone. And then God forms us and fits us and makes us to fit into the body of Christ. And we become stones too. Building up together. All right, three down. Prophesied stone. Two, a stumbling stone. Three, a foundation stone. Turn to 2 Peter or 1 Peter. We'll get you the fourth one here. 1 Peter. You're doing well tonight. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is a great one. This is good. 1 Peter 2:19. Oh boy. What is it? We'll take that if that works. Yeah, I don't know where I got 19 at. That's always a scary feeling. You look and you say, "Uh-oh." Thank you, Brad. I'll pay you later. Good. 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, and my problem when my face gets red, you know, it's everywhere. It's just, you can't hide it, you know. It's terrible. I could hide my notes or something. All right. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse number, let's start verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone. Isn't that a strange? Have you ever seen a living rock? Now, they used to have those pet rocks. I hope you didn't buy those. And those things you pour water on, the hair grows, you know. And maybe that's what I need. But here we have the living. Who is this? Who's the living stone? Well, it's Christ. He was dead, but he's come to life. He's the living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. And here's the fourth one. And precious. Number four, he is the precious stone. He is a chosen stone. Precious means something that is of great worth, of great value, of high honor, dear to us, something that is priceless. If you've been saved very long, there have been times when you really went through a difficulty and you turned to Christ and you placed your faith in the stone. And you know what you found? Precious. Precious. Christ, the stone, is precious. If you're here tonight and you say, boy, Gary, you're talking to me, man. We're going through some tough times. I want you to know, if you will put your faith in Christ, the stone, You will find that he is a true tried stone, that he will support you, and that you will find him to be precious. He is precious. So precious is Jesus, my Savior, my King. His praise all the day long with rapture I sing to him in my weakness, for strength I can cling. For he is so precious to me. The chorus, for he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. 'Tis heaven below, my Redeemer to know. For he is so precious to me. Do you need a rock to stand on today? Do you feel like you're in quicksand? Do you feel like you're going under? There is a rock. There's a tried rock, a true rock, a stone that you can stand upon, you can place your feet upon, you can place your faith and your trust in the rock, and he won't fail you. And when you come through that trial, you will say, he's precious. He's precious. There are many illustrations of this in the Psalms. You say, wait a minute, Gary, that's the Old Testament. I thought you were talking about Christ. I've got an answer for that one too. 1 Corinthians 10:4 is an interesting passage. He's talking about the children of Israel, and he said, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them. Remember, they didn't have any water? And he told Moses to speak to the rock. And it says in this passage, and that rock was Christ. So I can use this as an illustration. Just wanted to head that off, okay? Listen to David. Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I'll trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Aren't there times in life you need a high tower? I mean, the arrows are coming fast, the enemy's approaching, and it just looks, and you just need a place you can go to where you're safe. That's what David said the rock was. Psalm 18:46, the Lord liveth. This is a song, you've heard it sung. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. And 31:3, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, by thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Psalm 62:2, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Oh, I like this. And I shall not be greatly moved. Do you know Christians that are blown about by every wind of doctrine and every problem comes along and, oh, what are we going to do? And some problem comes along and, oh, what are we going to do? Oh, if they would just get on the rock, they'd be all right. Let me give you a couple more. Psalm 62:7. Oh, this is good. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. And finally, Psalm 94:22, but the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. Hey, do you need a rock? Undoubtedly, there are people here tonight that need to run to the rock. You need to run to Christ. You need to plant your feet on the promises of God and the work of God and Jesus Christ and be carried through the storm. Let him be your rock. He's a precious rock. So we've seen a prophesied rock. And then we've seen the fulfillment. He's a stumbling stone, foundation stone, a precious stone. By the way, he is a precious stone to whom? To those who believe. And that's, I don't know if I even read that far. Look down in verse 7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But read on. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. And I also want to turn to Matthew 21, and we'll close there. Matthew 21, this is the Lord speaking. And I want you to see that, folks, this rock, if you place your faith in this rock, he will carry you through. He will be a solid foundation. He will save you. You can build your life on him. We can build a church on him. But what if you reject the rock? What if you reject? What if you don't believe? Matthew 21, verse 42, I hope. And Jesus is speaking to these religious rulers. And he said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and be given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. If you go against the stone, if you don't believe the stone, you fall on the stone, you'll be broken. But on whosoever it shall fall, the stone falls, it will grind him to powder. And my friend, if you reject Christ, the stone will be a stone of stumbling, a stone of failure, a crushing stone. And that last point, by the way, is a pulverizing stone. And we see that back in Daniel chapter 2. I'm not going to have you turn there. Remember the stone made without hands that comes down and destroys the kingdoms of the world and then grows and becomes the creation of God. And I just was so thrilled as I read in Zechariah how God is going to set up his 1,000-year reign. And the king is going to come and going to rule. And then Satan will be loosed after that 1,000 years. And you have the battle of Gog and Magog. And we're with the Lord. And he comes and he destroys them with what? A sword, a word out of his mouth. And then he becomes the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he sets up his eternal reign. And he will reign forever and ever and ever. And who is that? It's the stone. The stone made by without hands. And he comes down and he will destroy. And I almost feel like breaking into the hallelujah chorus. And he shall reign forever and ever and ever. King of kings and Lord of lords. Wow. It's the stone. It's the rock. The Christ. So, have you been saved by the stone? Peter said there's salvation, there's no salvation in any other. Christ the rock. If you have, are you building your life on the stone? Are you building on the foundation of Jesus Christ? Are you resting in the stone? Have you run to the rock in the time of trouble to be helped? Maybe you've gotten a little discouraged. I want to remind you, it's going to be okay. The rock is going to rule. He's going to change this thing all around. And by the way, when he sets up the kingdom and he rules and reigns, you get to be there. It's going to be okay. So what application do you need to make to your life tonight? Salvation? Service? Maybe all of your service, the things you're doing in life are not built, you're not building on the foundation of Christ. Maybe you're struggling. Folks, run to the rock, to the high tower, the fortress, and be helped. Maybe you're a little discouraged today. I want to remind you, 2 weeks ago I read the last book of the Bible, and I read Zechariah, and I read Malachi. And in case you haven't read through the Bible and read those, it's going to be okay. He's going to rule, and he's going to reign. And you know what you're going to do for all eternity? You're going to say, worthy is the Lamb. And you're going to worship him, the rock, for all eternity. And he will sit as Lord and as King. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these truths tonight. And Lord, we just ask you to help us wherever we are, whatever our need is, to apply these truths to our lives. If there are some here this evening, it's possible there may be one here tonight who's not really a child of God. They may be trusting in a lot of things, but they're not trusting in Christ. Help them to come tonight and place their faith in you. No doubt, Lord, there are folks here who are hurting, who need a rock, a solid foundation. And I ask you to help them tonight just to run to you. I don't know the number, but why don't you play "So Precious Is Jesus, My Savior and King. He is so precious to me," I think is probably the title. And maybe tonight you need to come, get in the altar, and spend some time with the rock. Pour out your heart to him. Are you building on the foundation of Jesus Christ? Precious is Jesus, my Savior, my King. His praise all the day long with rapture I sing. To him in my weakness for strength I can cling. For he is so precious to me. Sing the chorus with me. Look this way. For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. 'Tis heaven below my Redeemer to to me. Lord, we thank you tonight for who you are. We thank you that you are a solid foundation. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you that you're the rock, you're the stone. Though you were rejected, you've become the chief cornerstone. And Lord, this week, help us to build our lives on the cornerstone, our ministries. Help us to be grounded on Christ. Christ the stone, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. Thanks for being here tonight. Lord willing, we'll see you Wednesday night.